You're listening to Houston's First Baptist Church. For more information, visit us online at houstonsfirst.org. Houston's First Baptist Church, a relevant biblical community. Here's Greg Mott.
If you got your Bibles, turn to Genesis, because that's what we've been journeying through. We're going to be in for a good while now as well. We've looked and we've seen how God has set the stage. We've gone backstage and seen what he's done. We've seen that it takes more faith to be an atheist than it does to believe that God created. We've been able to then look and see how the story begins, how God wants us to live out certain principles in our lives as we walk out the front door of our lives, onto the street, out of our house, or behind the door of our house as well. That we need rest, we need work, we need companionship is what we looked at last week. And then this week to look and see that God has placed us in creation, but we are different from creation. There's something different about us. That we're not just a part of creation. Yes, he's created us, but we're different. We're separate from it. And so we're going to look and see as we conclude this series of the story beginning to be able to see that God has set us in motion through needing rest, through needing companionship, and an understanding of where we are placed within creation. Now, my wife is from a small little town, and it's a town that you could fit her city, her town, it's not a city, her town could fit into our worship center three times over. So we could have a town hall meeting and everybody could come three times over right here in the place where we call our worship center to be able to be in this spot. And so it's a ranching community. It's a for real deal. It's not just like city slickers, February's the rodeo and everybody goes by some ropers and we show up for a week in ropers. This is like they spit at ropers. They laugh at ropers. They want work boots. They want the real deal kind of thing. So they get all of these, not fancy shiny, but they want the real deal. And so my father-in-law was telling me a story about a friend of his that was working as they were getting corn out of the fields. I didn't know corn came from fields. I thought it came from Randall's. I didn't realize that. But it actually grows someplace. You may have seen that on TV or something. So she married a city slicker, as you can see. So they were in the fields going through getting the corn. They had this big combine. And the corn would go in one end and it would shuck it and it would shoot it out the back end and you'd end up with this corn that later on you could boil and you could eat. Well, as they were going through this field, there began to be corn dust and corn stuff stuck in all of these gears. And so the guy that was controlling the combine stuck his hand into the machine just to clear out the gears, to get everything clear so that it would really, really move a lot faster and a lot quicker. And when he did, his shirt sleeve got stuck into the gears and it pulled his arm into the machine. Thankfully, he didn't go completely in the machine, but he went enough into the machine that it basically messed up his hand. And if you saw him today, you would see that his hand would not work in the ways that it should work. His sleeve, just his shirt sleeve, just one little small thing got caught into the gears and sucked him in. And I submit to you this, that that's what's happened with us in creation. That the result of evolutionary thought is that we have stuck our hand in the machine, it's caught our shirt sleeve, and we've been maimed because of it. That we've been pulled into creation and thinking that we are just the same as creation, but we are not the same as the rest of creation. We are different. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. We're going to go all the way through 30, but let's look at 27 just for this moment. And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created man in his own image. Man is different from all other creation. The tigers weren't created in his image. The plants weren't created in his image. Monkeys weren't created in the image of God. Tadpoles weren't created in the image of God. One-celled organisms weren't created in the image of God that we just evolved from. He created man and woman in the image of God. We are different from all other creation. We have been breathed into by God. God exhaled, and we got life. God never needed to draw a breath because he is self-sustaining. He exhaled and gave us life. And that makes us completely different from the rest of creation. And realizing we are different calls us to live differently. Realizing we are different calls us to live differently. When you realize you are different, you live differently. But the outgrowth of evolution is that we have been taught we are just the same as animals, so we mate instead of marry. So we act like animals, so we don't appreciate life and we are entertained by death.
and we are not seen as different. The Word of God is not seen as different, but this book is different than any other book. It is God-breathed as well. Think of the wonderful connection that God has breathed life into us, and that's what makes us different and gives us life. God has breathed life into His Word. This is God-breathed. So when you, as the breath of life, connect with this Word as the breath of life, it changes your life. It is different than any other book. But many people see it as the same as any other book, if not even less than any other book. But when we realize we are different and that this Word is different, that God has created us for rest, He's created us for companionship, He's created us to look at the machine, be outside of it, and not get our shirt sleeve caught in it. We are different. We are different. But society places man as equal to the rest of the animals, the Bible less than any other book. And that's just basically the outgrowth of being taught that we came from monkeys and evolved, and there is no difference, but we are different. See, what that results in is what's called pantheism. It's a big word that means everything is God. You can go to India. I've been to India before, and a cow will be treated better than a human at times. Everything is God. Everything is God. We don't mess with anything. We're just a part of it. But here's the deal. Mother Earth did not birth you. Father God created you. Vastly different. Mother Earth did not birth you. Mother Nature did not birth you. Father God created you, fashioned you, breathed life into you. And we are different, and we are called to live differently because of this. Genesis is for the heart, not just the head. My greatest fear when I had first become a Christian is that I was going to be different. I was so concerned that this relationship with Jesus was going to make me different. And if I was different, then people wouldn't like me. They wouldn't accept me. They wouldn't want to hang out with me. Now, I wanted to be different in the fact I was forgiven. I wanted to be different in the fact I had peace. I wanted a different kind of wisdom. But I didn't want to be different so much that it removed me from connecting with the rest of the world. And I wanted you to know that the difference that God has made in my life, my greatest fear is my greatest joy. The difference God makes in your life is not to be feared, it is to be embraced. God cannot make a difference in you until you'll allow Him to make you different. And if your entire relationship with God is hedging your bets of how you can keep one foot in the world and how you can keep one foot in God, God is going to always be kind of an exterior thing for you that you just use at a moment and you're in great need. But when you say, Lord, the difference you make in my life is actually the greatest joy, we should be different. We should act differently. We should forgive differently. We should interact differently. We should be controlling our finances differently. We should raise our kids differently. Every movie that goes for the world isn't going to go for every kid that's being raised in a godly home. Holiness is the standard, not just a little bit better than the kids down the street. We should be different in the way you date as a single, the way you study as a student. We should be different because we have been made in the image of God. That is a spiritual image. God has given us a spiritual image, moral attributes. We don't always do what's right, but we know what's right. We are created in His image that we desire to connect with God. That is vastly different. And when you get your shirt sleeve caught in the machine and you get sucked into creation, you'll think you're exactly the same as the rest of creation, and you're not. We are stewards of creation, not worshipers of it. We are stewards of creation, not worshipers of it. And we have gotten our arms as a society caught in the machine that instead of being stewards of creation, we worship creation. I went on the internet and just put in the word tree hugger. Saw what pictures I would get. Here's a picture I got. And maybe he's taking it a little bit too far in the tree hugger picture. Just a tad too far. There is a stewardship we should have of creation, but there's not a worship that we should have of creation. We are worshipers of God, not worshipers of creation. Now, we as a culture and we as believers in Christ, we should care for, we should continue creation instead of abusing it. No question about it. We should take care of the environment and to take care of creation. But we are separate and different from it. Look, if you will, in verse 28 through 30. And God blessed them, that's Adam and Eve, and said to them, be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Do you hear the difference? Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground. Then God said, I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed on it. And they will be yours for food, and to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground and everything that has the breath of life. We sang that song in it. And I give every green plant for food. And so it was. He says, I want you to live separate, rule over, subdue. You are different. You don't worship creation. We worship God. We steward creation. So we should take care of the environment. That's not a liberal agenda item. What's happened is that with the negation of God, we've begun to worship creation. There is something in us in humans that desires redemption. We love to see things redeemed. Don't you love seeing something that goes from grandma's dusty attic and gets polished up and put out on display? We love antiques. We love classic cars. We love to see something old and see it restored. We like to root for the underdog. Go Cougars this year. To be able to see the underdog win, there's something in us that likes to see things redeemed. That is because you are created in the image of God. And when you negate God, then the only redemption you'll find is you want to redeem creation. So all your focus goes to creation so that it ends up being worship. God wants to redeem the soul. And when you have a desire for an antique or an underdog's victory, it is the image of God in you calling out for redemption of the human soul. And if God is negated through evolutionary thought, creation is lifted up, pantheism exists, and all you have is let's just try to make earth a better place to go to hell from. And with that, it all falls apart biblically. Our redemptive heart is focused on the cross of Christ. Now, in that, we should still do our part to save the environment, protect the environment, all those things. We have, even in our church, we've made changes because we want to be able to lean into that. We changed 900 light bulbs in here. We got a lot of light bulbs in this place. We changed 900 light bulbs to be more energy efficient light bulbs. Ended up saving us $60,000 a year. Money better spent. We're in the midst of a capital campaign right now. We're just about to finish the construction loan of this worship center through your giving. It's an amazing thing of what God has done, but we're not finished yet. The next steps that we're taking, we're going to redo the preschool area for all those little kiddos. That's vastly important that we do that. We're going to minister to churches all around our city. Have you heard of many churches that have capital campaigns to raise money to give it away? Well, that's what we're doing, to re-roof other churches, to help other churches that they don't have a lot of money, and we can be able to give them and help with them. That's where we're going with this. So if you've been giving, you're a part of it just like I am. I give every single month to our capital campaign. Continue to be faithful to your pledge and then some as God blesses you. If you're a new member, jump in with us. You're a part of this body of Christ. You need to be a part of it. To say, I'm a part of what's going on. Well, in this coming up, we're going to redo our air conditioning system and our heating system. It's not real glamorous. No one gets real excited about pictures of the new AC. Oh, that just touched my heart. Let me give you some money to that. That's great. But let me tell you, in Houston, Texas, AC is a ministry, okay? You agree? So we're going to get a new one that's going to be redone, and I don't know what all those mean, but it's going to be more energy efficient. That's going to save $150,000 to be able to give that and to have ministry going with that. So we're doing our part. We could do more, but we're trying. We looked on the roof to try to put solar panels on our roof so we could have solar panels up there. We figured there's a lot of sun up there. Well, it's going to take 27 years to recoup the cost on that. So we thought, maybe not, okay? It'd be like the big satellite dish in your backyard, you know, those huge ones looking at it by the time the technology got around. So we should all do our part. We should all be a part of that. There's a ministry that birthed from a family and people of our church here of Living Waters International. It's an amazing ministry. They do the best job that I know of of combining the love for creation, God's creation, and then giving a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. I went to their banquet on Friday night. I was crying looking at these videos, seeing these things. This is what they do. They go into a community that doesn't have sanitation, doesn't have clean water, and they drill a well. And in drilling that well, here comes this water, and people from miles come for clean water. We don't realize, but that's a big deal in the rest of the world. And so they come and they get this water, and then they say, let us tell you about the living water. Do you see, it's not just a thing of let's just make the environment better, let's just help people. It's let's give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. They do a tremendous, tremendous job about that. Our mission center can give you information. We can send you on a trip. We've done many trips with them to help drill those wells. We are worshipers of God. We are stewards of creation. We're worshipers of God. If we could turn it one more notch, we're worshipers of God, not stewards of Him. See how I flipped it around? We're stewards of creation, not worshipers of it. We're worshipers of God and not stewards of Him. We like to keep God in our box, in our closet, and let Him out when we think it's appropriate. I'll give a Christian witness when I know that it won't hurt me, it might help me. I'll remove it and I'll stay back when I might get embarrassed and it might require boldness and faith. I give until I sacrifice. I pray as long as I need something. And we steward God. And the Lord is saying, no, I want you to worship me. I want you to worship me with everything that you have. It says in Psalm 115, verse 16, the highest heavens belong to the Lord, and the earth He has given to man. Genesis 22, verse 15 says, the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden to work it and to take care of it. God has put all of these things into our midst so that our shirt sleeve wouldn't get caught. No, that we would stand apart from it and say, yes, let's help oil that. Yes, let's keep that going. But we understand that we're different, Lord. And the difference is we look at the artistry of creation. We worship not the artistry, we worship the artist. And you have made me with an unction for redemption. Breathe your life in me, Lord. And may the life of your word breathe in me as well. The God who creates is the God who fills. That was my first point when we began Genesis. The God who creates is the God who fills. In day one, He said, let there be light. In day four, He said, sun and moon. In day two, He said, let there be sky and water. And in day five, He said, here's birds and fish. In day three, He said, let there be dry land and plants. And in day six, He said, let there be animals and let there be mankind. In day seven, He said, rest. The God who creates you is the God who wants to fill you. And if your sleeve gets caught where you think you're just a part of creation, you will miss the point that Jesus Christ wants to redeem you and fill you with His Holy Spirit. Is your shirt sleeve caught? Let me give you a couple thoughts that are sermons in and of themselves. Your shirt sleeve might not be caught in the environment. That might not be what has pulled you in, but has materialism caught your sleeve? And stuff is different than man. And we're to be outside stuff, but somehow we've stuck our arm in there to be handsome or pretty, and it's caught us, and it's sucked us right in. Our business is to be stewarded, and it's to provide us a living, but it's not to be our life, but we've gotten caught, and we no longer make it to our friendships anymore because our shirt sleeve has gotten snagged. I wonder if our pride has caught our sleeve and yanked us into the machine that has given us the accolades. And we're just being maimed of the soul by our sleeves being caught. The chapter of life that I'm in right now, raising young children, I see a lot of shirt sleeves getting caught in the activities and involvements of kids. That we want them to be involved and be in a lot of things, and so our arm gets in the machine and it yanks. And pretty soon we don't have a family life anymore. We have a taxi service. We don't spend time together anymore as a family. We just run kids from activity to activity to activity. Should they be involved? Yes, but is there a place where there's an over-involvement? I think there is as well. Many folks, it's not you because you're here, but many come to church as long as soccer allows. And the children grow up seeing that church is what we do when it's convenient. not because we're convinced of God. And they grow up and they turn into teenagers and we wring our hands and say, why don't they want to come to church? It's not convenient. And that's what they've seen modeled, and our shirts are caught. And not only does it drag us into it, it drags in the next generations. Just some thoughts that are sermons on their own of our sleeves getting caught in the machines that God has said, I want you to be separate and different and respond to the image that I've put in you. God has rigged this thing. We need Him. And so we step back from this creation and we say, look at the artistry to look at the artist. And do you know that throughout the scriptures, God is speaking about Him being the creator. The Bible declares God is the creator. Our response is to offer our lives as a part of His plan.
Yes, since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. And yet some will still say, who is the Lord that I should obey His voice? But do you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And He will not grow tired or weary. And His understanding no one can fathom. And who has known the mind of the Lord that He may instruct him? Oh, but ask the animals, and they will teach you. Or the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you. Or let the fish of the sea inform you. For which of all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? For in His hand is the life of every creature, and yet the breath of all mankind. And who has directed the Spirit of the Lord, or as His counselor has informed him? Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Does the clay say to the potter, what are you making? Even the Lord Himself asks you, where were you when I laid the earth's foundations? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its footings set? Or who laid its cornerstone while the morning stars sang together and all the angels shouted for joy? Who shut up the sea behind doors when it burst forth from the womb? When I made the clouds its garment and I wrapped it in thick darkness, when I fixed limits for it and I set its doors and bars in place, when I said, this far you may come and no farther, this is where your proud waves must halt. Have you ever in your life given orders to the morning? Or have you shown the dawn its place? Have you journeyed to the springs of the sea? Or have you walked in the recesses of the deep? Well, tell me if you know all of this. Have you comprehended the vast expanses of the earth? Have you seen the storehouses of the snow? Have you entered into the storehouses of the hail? Can you bind the beautiful Pleiades? Or can you loose the cords of Orion? Can you bring forth the constellations in their seasons? Or lead out the bear with its cubs? Do you know the laws of the heavens? Can you set up God's dominion over the earth? Can you raise your voice to the clouds and cover yourself with a flood of water? Do you send the lightning bolts on their way? Do they report to you and say, here we are? Oh, who endowed the heart with wisdom? And who gave understanding to the mind? And who has the wisdom to count the clouds? Or who can tip over the water jars of the heavens? Do you know when the mountain goats give birth? Or do you watch when the doe bears her fawn? Do you count the months till they bear? Or do you know the time when they give birth? Do you give the horse his strength and clothe his neck with a flowing mane? Or does the hawk take flight by your wisdom and spread his wings toward the south? Or does the eagle soar at your command and build his nest on high? Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths are beyond tracing out. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding has no limit. He has made everything beautiful in its time. And he has also set eternity in the hearts of men, and yet they cannot fathom what God has done from beginning to end. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. To whom then will we compare God, or who is his equal? You answer us with awesome deeds of righteousness. O God, our Savior, the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. You alone are the Lord. You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and all that move in them. You give life to everything, and the multitudes of heaven worship you. So praise the Lord from the earth, all of his works, everywhere in his dominion. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted, and his splendor is above the earth and the heavens. Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. For great is the Lord, and most worthy of praise. The Lord is good, and his love endures forever. And his faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. Amen.
You can know that creator. And for those of you who do know that creator, he lives in your heart and you are different. So from that difference, live differently.